The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
You know, financial services firms across Asia are making use of more emerging technologies, but it seems that they're seeing mixed progress and success. That's part of the findings from research done by financial services technology company FIS. And interestingly, even though these emerging technologies are accelerating growth for firms that do adopt them, the pace of adoption, well, that seems to be slowing down. To explain this and a lot more, we've got Sanjay Varma, Group Managing Director for Asia Pacific, Middle East and Africa at FIS, in the studio with me this morning. Sanjay, good morning. Welcome back.
Morning. Nice to be back.
You had a bit of a near-miss experience with regard to the first wave of those protests that happened in Hong Kong. Must have been scary looking back.
Yeah, it was different. The protests were huge. The size was quite large. The photographs don't do it justice, but it was a different experience.
It was, and it's still going on, and hopefully they come to some kind of resolution. But coming back to this, let's talk about what's going on with regard to the adoption of technologies in the financial sector. I mean, how receptive have they been over the years, if you could track their progress? And clearly more can be done, but what's holding them back?
That's an interesting question. If you look over the past few years, and as we have been showing through our readiness reports, what seems to be happening is that financial institutions seem to be going through a cycle of first setting their back offices, their operation centers in place, and then taking the technology to where it really matters, in the front office, where they interact directly with the customer. And our readiness report shows that if you look at the difference between 2018 and 2019, the readiness leaders are essentially the top 20% of all the C-level execs and firms that we interviewed, have already accomplished this. And now they are taking the gains that they have made in establishing or setting right their back office and operations areas, and reinvesting those into the front office, interacting with customers, deploying AI very successfully, being able to get solutions which leverage either robotic process automation or machine learning to get direct benefit and value where it really matters, towards customers or towards direct front-end activities.
Okay. Sanjay, interesting that towards the end of that, you brought up artificial intelligence, AI, and I've had many conversations about it, and I've always had the opinion that perhaps it's a little bit overhyped. What is yours, especially if you could reference it to the kind of progress that we've made, just some of the bits that you described at the end as well?
Sure. If you really look at it, and here I'll compare readiness leaders, because they seem to be giving us an indication of things to come. They also seem to give us an indication of what material gains and benefits can happen by adoption of technology.
Okay.
Readiness leaders have increased their adoption of AI from 15% last year to about 26% this year. Right. You find that about 40 to 50% of them are already live with an AI solution, and the rest are looking to implement or are in testing phase with an AI or a robotic process automation system. Now, AI in itself is quite a wide term, right? It starts with something as basic as workflow automation.
Okay.
It proceeds on to robotic process automation, where once you have automated a simple process, you go through multiple iterations of that, trying to find areas where you can improve, trying to find anomalies and trying to find gaps. And then it goes to machine learning, where the algorithm takes over and starts improving the process itself, and then finally AI. Where we are now seeing a lot of companies having done the first two, especially in the readiness leaders, the first gains of AI were actually in the operations areas, where people were just deploying AI solutions to see how they could improve operations, how they could get away with deficiencies, gaps, and then make that process more efficient. And gains were quite tremendous, about 70 to 80% improvement in efficiencies where they were successfully deployed. Now we see the AI trend shift towards the front end. Surprisingly, we find a lot more usage of AI-based solution amongst asset managers, amongst fund administrators, broker-dealers, and investment bankers, where they have started using a combination of AI and what we call natural language processing to come up with non-quantitative data to analyze risk and to model risk better, to find micro trends which can help them make more cognitive decisions on their portfolios, and also to give back that much more around alpha and returns to the customer.
Is it possible to find out who exactly are the leaders in adopting this AI?
right now, at least, the trend seems to have surprisingly been more towards asset managers and fund administrators.
Okay.
Right, led by, then again, broker-dealers and investment bankers coming in. Okay. And then, of course, we have, as per our report, the insurance industry, the commercial and retail banks slightly lagging behind and, you know, picking up the trend slightly later.
Actually, I had a conversation with a head of a major insurance firm in Singapore, and we were talking about the adoption of technologies and AI. And one of the things that we agreed on was that there's a bit of a lag, but there's huge potential, especially in this insurance sphere, especially with people or potential customers more educated as well, right?
There is indeed. In fact, robotic process automation specifically can come into play is around fraud and risk management.
Okay.
Specifically around the fact that the more we are getting into social media, the more we are getting into other trends of information coming across, the more are the chances of you having false positives, of you having false identifications coming up. And what very often escapes human attention can be picked up by an algorithm. So a micro trend, which is repeating itself constantly, which might escape your or my attention as an underwriter, might be picked up by an AI and said, if this trend repeats again, then it's possibly leading to fraud.
I like that because there's so much information available, what's real and what's not, right? Sure. In the studio with me is Sanjay Varma, Group Managing Director for Asia Pacific, Middle East and Africa at FIS. We are talking about the use of emerging technologies in the financial sector. How do hedge funds use artificial intelligence and natural language processing in their work, especially when it comes to analyzing the non-financial data?
There seem to be two separate tracks out here. AI being used, especially around machine learning, being used more to fine-tune their risk models, more to fine-tune the performance of the investments. And then if you look at NLP or natural language processing, which in simplified jargon means understanding the way you and I would write down a Instagram message or a Facebook post, making logical sense or making sense out of that the way a machine would understand it.
Okay.
They're using that to understand trends, to find out from social media and other information providers, mass public information providers like that, the sentiment behind a particular portfolio, a particular trend, a particular volatility, whether there are positive sentiments around it, negative sentiments around it, and how they can model it to get some non-qualitative information to basically sit on top of and complement the quantitative information that they have in making cognitive decisions.
Okay, so the program or the AI is somewhat doing some level of profiling where the written language is concerned on paper or online.
In a way, yes, you could say that.
Okay, that's interesting. What can other companies learn from all this?
Well, the simple bare facts that we have understood is that readiness leaders who have adopted and who have been able to deploy more artificial intelligence or, you know, digital technology-based systems seem to be doing much better in terms of earnings, in terms of growth than the others who have not. In fact, our studies and our research has shown that they have grown almost double globally. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world, the rest of the financial institutions we interviewed are growing at around about 1.5% pace, whereas the readiness leaders are close to about 3.3%. The second thing that it has shown us is that once you have set the foundation, once you have established or firmed up your operations area, the sooner you can take this to where it really matters, which is customer and front-facing, better your results, the better your returns would be. Uh-huh. And the last and final thing it's really taught us is that, and this is a trend that has come up surprisingly this year, is that there is a lot of work that the readiness leaders are finding best done by third-party partners, non-proprietary, non-competitive areas, which they are more than willing to partner up. And this trend is increasing where they're partnering up with third-party providers to hype this off and keep their focus only on the areas that matter to them.
Sanjay, final question for you. Let's talk about the area of chatbots for this. For me personally, I've noticed a bit of a start-stop in terms of implementing chatbots. But what do you think are some of the obstacles for companies or that they face in successfully implementing chatbots?
That's an interesting question. So chatbots are any outcome-based intelligent machine or an application coming is generally one aspect of a long process. And that long process starts for the entire customer experience journey. The customer experience journey that you and I would see would pretty much be the interactions we have either with a chatbot or an internet website. But it also extends behind to the way the data is processed, to the way, for example, an application is processed. And that might still go back to the legacy or the olden process or the legacy processes that might not have changed as much as the front end itself.
Okay.
So while you've got a very smart and intelligent application working for you in the front end, in the back, it still relies on an antiquated process and roadblocks or bottlenecks.
Okay.
Till the financial institutions understand or till they sort that part of the process and increase and make sure that the customer experience is end-to-end, a chatbot will always not be 100% or able to give you 100% of what's expected from it. Yeah. At some point of time, it will face a bottleneck or will break down.
And you thought having a conversation in real life was difficult.
Exactly.
Sanjay Varma, Group Managing Director for Asia Pacific, Middle East and Africa at FIS, in the studio with me. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning.
Thanks a lot for having me here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at MoneyFM893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.